welcome to this Leading with Excellence podcast featuring the superintendent of the Bar Reeve Community Schools, Andrea Huff. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, executive director of the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents. This Leading with Excellence podcast allows listeners to get to know the incredible individuals who are leading Indiana's traditional public schools with excellence and reminds us that our leaders are also our neighbors, friends, mentors, and lifelong learners. These authentic conversations help bridge the gap between the office of the superintendent and the amazing people in that seat. You know, superintendents are often seen as administrators who make big decisions about budgets, policies, or facilities. And although that is all true, this podcast shifts that perspective by hearing superintendents speak in their own voices about their community, school district, and personal stories. We'll discover the superintendent as a listener, learner, and servant leader, someone whose leadership centers on vision, relationships, and a genuine care for people. Let's dive right in and learn more about our guest, Andrea Huff. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about Bar Reeve. Where are you located? Where in the state? Just give people a sense of where Bar Reeve in Montgomery, Indiana is.
Sure. We're located in the southern part of the state.
Okay.
Montgomery, Indiana is the main town that's associated with Bar Reeve. We do serve two different townships. So we have Bar and Reeve Township.
Okay. So a consolidated district.
Consolidated district,
yeah,
yes. Right. Back in 1964-65 range,
okay,
is when Bar Reeve came together. And we are located about 7 minutes east of I-69.
Mm-hmm.
We are just north of Jasper. We are 30-minute drive to Crane Naval Base.
Wow. So how would you describe your district? Would you describe it as a rural district, as a kind of a growing bedroom community type of district? How would you describe Bar Reeve?
We are a small rural district. We have a large Amish and Mennonite population.
Okay.
And as far as our student makeup, we are a third transfer.
We have several communities in the state of Indiana that have an Amish population. Talk about the uniqueness and some of the things that you as a superintendent work with the Amish community on to truly provide that opportunity for them to be involved in your schools and to learn from your schools. Because I know there's a certain point in time in which the Amish students typically will leave school and become more engaged with the family business.
So what's really unique about Bar Reeve, along with a lot of small rural schools as well, the school is the heart of the community.
Mm.
We have great families. They believe in the school system. They believe in values that they instill in their children from birth, and those carry through to us. We're very, very blessed that when kids come to us, they are ready to learn.
Mm.
Don't get me wrong. We still have our same hurdles.
Sure.
You know, we still have kids who come in the door that we need to meet them where they're at with maybe some things that have happened prior to getting to school,
mm-hmm,
that day.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, our community values education and they make it a priority. As far as the Amish Mennonite population, you are right that there are some who do stop school after the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll have some who'll go on to freshman year to get math. We're a neat area as far as the entrepreneurial side, because if you go down two of our main roads that go through our community, you are going to find business after business after business. It's a multi-billion dollar industry.
And all Amish businesses, or many Amish businesses?
Many Amish businesses.
Amish and Mennonite, yeah.
In Davies County, we have 120 cabinet shops.
Wow.
I think a lot of that work ethic, though, pours over into the school setting as well. You know, we see it in the academics. We see it in the athletics. We see it in the arts.
Yep.
We see it in the staff.
What a great tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about something that just happened in your community. I hate to timestamp these, but you just won a state basketball championship. Talk about what that did for your community, not only the winning of the state championship, but the lead up throughout the season and into the postseason. What was that like?
It was amazing. Like I said, I was just sharing with someone that this team is so easy to cheer for. They are selfless. They are friends on the court, off the court. They are cousins with each other. Mm. They have grown up playing together. A great example of it, in the semi-state game, we had a player who scored 29 points. He turned around in the state, and they had him doubled up on, and he scored 6. But we had a senior who averaged 2.5 points per game. He scored 12 points towards the end of the game to just push
teamwork
us right there to
teamwork
the top.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, in all of their interviews that they did, they said it doesn't matter who scores as long as we score.
Mm.
Get the ball to whoever is hot that night. I love how our coach said that it's a group of overbelievers.
Overbelievers. Not overachievers, but overbelievers.
Overbelievers, because we've always said with this group they were going to be talented. But everyone said they were 1 year away, that it was going to be next year. Most of them were sophomores and juniors.
Wow. So there may be a back-to-back on the, I hate to put pressure on them, but how exciting.
Yeah.
And typically, in my experience, that also changes the culture of your school district. It changes the climate in the building. It changes just the whole community. Have you seen that as well with this team coalescing and just bringing an excitement to the community?
As far as bringing the community together, I agree with that 100%. Mm-hmm. We're a big basketball area, big basketball district. They had a ton of support. Mm-hmm. And it's been really neat, again, to see that through fresh eyes with having a new coach this year. He gets to experience it all for the first time. So things that he picks up on and he says that maybe we've just taken for granted, that's been a really neat experience as well. As far as the whole buildup to it, again, our community has been there the entire
long-standing.
Yeah. I tease that I've not played a sport a day in my life, but I have three blue medals. So this was our second blue that we had this year.
Well, tell me about your other.
Our volleyball team, they won 2A state. Our golf, girls golf team went to state for the first time in school history in the fall. Our cross country was at state this year as well. So we've had a lot of great success.
Talk about leadership.
Right?
It's all the new superintendent, right? Tell me about what brought you to Bar Reef.
So I actually graduated from Lagodi, and I went to school at IU, and I had to come back and do my student teaching somewhere that I didn't go to school, and I happened to know the school nurse at the time. And the school nurse said, I've got the perfect teacher for you to go with. And she had actually just had a student teacher, and she said, I don't want another one. And the school nurse said, no, you want her. Like, you two are going to hit it off. And so I did my student teaching in the fall of 24 and graduated in December. Fell in love with the school, and I was fortunate enough that in that February of 05, I was able to get a para job. And so I started as a para in Title I that summer. At Bar Reef. That summer, they made it a certified job. And a third grade teacher came and said, hey, do you think Andrea would want to switch with me? I would really like to go to Title, and I had always wanted to teach third grade. So it was perfect. So in 2005, I had my first teaching job. I taught third grade for 2 years, and then we started all-day, every-day kindergarten. I was the last one hired in with kindergarten on my license, so we know who's going to kindergarten. My mom was a preschool teacher, and I'd always said I did not want the little ones. Too much hand-holding, and right before I went to from third grade to kindergarten, I was kind of thinking, you know what? I might like those little
ones. I can do this.
So I went to kindergarten. I spent 4 years in kindergarten and then 3 years in first grade before I became an elementary assistant principal.
What was that catalyst that made you want to move from the classroom into being a building level administrator?
So I always knew that I wanted to get into administration eventually. I should say that I knew in second grade that I wanted to be a teacher. I loved my teacher in second grade, and it just stuck with me ever since. So what happened, I was the last one hired in the elementary for probably 5 to 6 years.
It speaks to the longevity of the staff.
It is.
Yeah.
And so then we started to have some teachers retire. I started to get some teachers in underneath me. And at the time I was teaching in just a K-1 building. So there were only a handful of us in the building. And I was starting to mentor the other teachers. And I was really realizing at the time that I really like this. I like being able to show them what I'm doing, lessons learned. I loved the curriculum side of it. And so when we had the elementary principal and K-12 curriculum director position come available, I applied and was fortunate enough to get it.
So how long were you in those roles before you moved into the superintendency?
So I did that role for 2 years. And then I knew if I wanted to go further, I needed to have principal experience. Or at least I felt I did. That was something I wanted to have. I looked at the two principals who we had, and just timing, I knew it wasn't really going to be a possibility for me at Bar Reef. And so Lagodi had reached out, and they were looking for a high school principal. And they're like, hey, how well do you like your job? I'm like, well, I really like my job, but I'll come talk to you. Never thought I'd go to high school.
So say from elementary to high school, that's a bit of a jump.
I have the K-12 gamut because I went. And so I was the high school principal for 2 years there. Absolutely loved it. Mm. I loved the connection I was able to make with the high school students.
Absolutely.
And how I was able to help them in different ways. It was a great experience for me because we all know in education that we contribute to the economic development in a region, what comes next in kids' lives. But when you're in kindergarten, you don't see the immediate side of that. Mm-hmm. When you're sitting down with an 18-year-old in your office and they have no clue what they want to do in 2 months, it's a reality.
Sure.
And so I loved that side of it. And did that, like I said, 2 years. And then Dr. Madison, who was the superintendent at Bar Eve, he had an assistant job that was open. And so he called and asked me. And it was a tough one because I loved the kids. And I really didn't want it to look like I was walking out on them.
That was your alma mater.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was, like I said, I was only there 2 years. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the landscape, I couldn't pass that up. And it's another thing that faith is very important to me. And there was a lot of prayer. Every move that I made, I felt I was being led there. Mm-hmm. And so I felt that this one I was being led there as well. So I went back and I started a career in STEM Academy at Bar Eve. And I did that for 5 years. I was supposed to do it for 10 because Dr. Madison was supposed to be there another 5 years. And then after year five, he called me in. He's like, okay, are you ready? Like, ready for what? He said, you're up next.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was in May. And then...
Had you always planned on succeeding him?
We had talked about it. Mm-hmm. So it was a goal. I mean, you never know what the board is going to want to do or where life is going to take you. Mm-hmm. And so... Yeah.
So now that you're superintendent, is that second grade teacher still teaching?
No, she is not.
No. Mm-hmm.
No, but I do have a relationship with
her. Sure, yeah. So. You've been, golly, you're 20 years in Bar Reeve, 20 plus years in Bar Reeve from the time you student taught till now, with a short little stint gone. You have a lot of relationships that you've developed. So people know your heart. But when you think about the stresses that you have and some of the things that you experience as a superintendent, what are the things that you do to get away, just to forget about some of those responsibilities sometimes? Or do you ever?
I'm not very good at it. So a couple of things. One, I will tell you that this job has been wonderful for my prayer life. It's a daily.
Mm-hmm.
I go through seasons with what I need as far as some seasons. It is getting up early so I can read my devotional, do other reading, maybe do something in the morning. Right now, I'm actually going through a season of listening to I Need Rest.
Mm.
So that's being pushed to another time. And I wake up, I check the weather, and I go back to sleep for another hour.
Mm-hmm.
The other good part about it is I do have a young family, and so that's a priority. And I heard that from several people when I took over as superintendent. Keep your family first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're only going to be little for so long, and that has to be the priority. It helps, again, they go to school at Bar Eve. My husband's the varsity softball coach. So we're very involved in the school. So we do it as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really helped.
I'm guessing you're going to say that's a positive to have your children in the school district where you're superintendent and have your husband as an employee in the school district.
I say he's my biggest pain as a coach.
I know that also gives you an opportunity to spend time with family because you just go, you can go watch a game and be in the same space. Mm-hmm. But how is that to navigate for when you're going into a parent-teacher conference and your mom, you're not, well, you are superintendent, but you're going in as a mom.
I'm very fortunate that my kids do well at school and they behave well at school.
So they know they better.
It's been okay. I haven't had that awkward moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there have been a couple of times when maybe there's something that we've had to ask a question about just for clarification or how can we better help. Or there's maybe been a time when we've thought we're going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had the conversation with Josh, my husband, and I've said, maybe you need to go to this one. Maybe it's not me who goes in and stuff, but it's never came to that.
Yeah.
So we've been,
you figured it out.
We've navigated it.
You figured it out. Last question we always ask our guests, Leading with Excellence, that's the name of our podcast. When you think about what Leading with Excellence means, dating back to that second grade teacher that was there and helped you to to navigate that space, to superintendents that you've had, to people that have really brought meaning to your leadership. What does that mean for you in the context of public education to lead with excellence?
Integrity, honesty, students first, in relationships. That's a huge piece of it. So our vision for our school, happy kids, healthy relationships on a path to rewarding futures. Who doesn't want happy kids? But we can't always assume that kids are happy. Mm-hmm. Even our ones who come to school and play school well, mm-hmm. we have to make that a priority to make sure that kids are happy. Mm-hmm. Healthy relationships, that goes for our students, that goes for our staff, it goes for all of our interactions, everything that we do. I think that's critical. It's a life lesson mm-hmm. that we have to make sure that our kids know to have or know how to have healthy relationships mm-hmm. and on a path to rewarding futures. We don't know what that path is. We don't know which direction they're going to go, but have we given them the skill set and the tools that they need mm-hmm. to have a future? And so that's big for us. Connect, contribute, and challenge is what we tell everybody. We have connections with people. We challenge each other. That's how we grow and get better and contribute. You know, yeah. you have to play a role in all of that. And again, going back to the honesty and integrity piece, that's the piece that means the most to me, because I think if you have that, all those other things fall into place.
And you've had the opportunity over so long of a period of time to develop that honesty and integrity. So people have been able to see and witness that in your leadership.
That was the big thing when I took over. I said that I want to do this job from a way that my girls can be proud of mm-hmm. me, that they can see that mom's holding true to who she is, because everyone's going to have an opinion mm-hmm. of the decision that you made and you should have done this or you should have done that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're the one that has to live with that decision yeah. and you have to be accountable to it. And so I think if you hold true to who you are, then again, it might not always be the right decision, but at least you made it with the right frame of mind.
What a great perspective. Andrea, thanks for being my guest.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been the superintendent of the Bar Reeve Community Schools, Andrea Huff. Andrea's story reinforces that excellence is a journey, not a title. We hope today's conversation helped you to see the heart behind the role of the superintendent. Today's conversation reminds us that leadership is not only about decisions, it's about people, passion, and purpose. This has been another episode of the Leading with Excellence podcast from the Indiana Association of Public School Superintendents.